you ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you. Wagon! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hey, fellas. What's up?
Can you hear me? Okay, good. You never know. And Mr. Sonny Hollywood Pooney.
Jody was creating suspense, I think. I think he's on a delay. Watch.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay, good. Then we won't worry about it. Thank you guys for tuning in to Podcast Rock City Live, where we get together every Sunday for an hour or so and talk about subjects. The subject at the bottom all week long, we've been basically debating this on the Podcast Rock City site and the new KissAsylum.com Facebook site. Everybody's been putting their 2 cents in. We're going to get to that. How are you guys doing this week? Yeah.
Not bad. Am I on some weird delay or what?
Yeah, it's like a second and a half. Like,
damn, yeah. It's storming here, dude. It's like crazy lightning. I don't know if you can
hear
that.
Well, that's probably. I heard it. I heard it. Yeah.
Jesus.
It's not a big deal. Just remember that we're doing this audio as well. So even if your picture disappears, we just keep going. You guys can join us every Sunday on our Facebook page. And by the looks of it, most of you guys have been. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Sonny, you had a good birthday, I heard.
Yeah, birthday was good. I was telling you about, I was on a Zoom wedding yesterday. And, you know, the folks that kind of ran the wedding did a great job. But you get 40, 50, 60 participants that have never used Zoom before. So you got right. Cameras in crotches, you got them in armpits, you got two people having a conversation, they don't realize everybody else can hear them, you got somebody that doesn't put themselves on mute, so every time they go, their screen pops up, like that, it was like, there was so much hilarity, it was like watching a sitcom, dude, I should have taped it, put that out.
I'm not even going to lie, that's pretty funny.
So everyone's just on Zoom then?
Yeah, so right. What they did was they, like, set up the garage. So if you can imagine, you know, like if you're facing your garage, right, put the camera up on the right-hand side of the garage on a tripod, decorate the inside of the garage with, like, white curtains, blah, 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 throw some, like, carpet-type stuff down, and then basically you set up, like, a pop-up tent right outside the garage so the wife and the dad can walk in, and you know, so they're kind of walking, so when you look straight into the garage is where they're having the ceremony, so they just change the camera angle at that point. So they did a good job doing it, to be honest. They did a great job doing it. It's you know, everybody wants to talk to everybody, and that's tough to do.
All of a sudden, I'm when you're talking about a camera in the crotch, I watched Delirious yesterday, Eddie Murphy.
Oh,
Delirious.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He takes the camera and he's like, let's explain that one to Photo Matt.
Yeah.
It's a picture of Eddie Murphy's dick. okay, so there's a teeny bit of news, and we're going to get to it right now.
Podcast Rock City News.
So I was on the interwebs yesterday on the Facebook, or maybe it was the day before, and Keith LaRue, who you guys all know because he works for Kiss and Paul Stanley, he went live with Fran, and they were showing basically the warehouse where Kiss stores all their stuff and all that, and they were showing how the guitars are still exactly where they were from the day they stopped touring, and showing how all the pyro was empty because they had all gone off. But they did mention that, I think they said by the end of October, we are going to have a list of where you can buy guitars at what shows and that kind of thing. So that means at least that right now, at least at this moment, they're moving forward with this tour, at least the planning of it. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, Y&T put out some dates. Like, it seems like Europe has dates out there that are May and past. Like, every time I hear of tour dates, you know, you see Sweden, UK, France, blah, blah, blah. I just have not seen much US stuff, but I might be missing it.
Right. I went online to see about buying the Smash guitar from the Atlanta show, and it says out of stock. So somebody already did that. And then when I saw the price of it, I was like, well.
So how much are they going for?
It's about $6,000.
Jesus.
Okay, so Joe, I'll make you a deal. I'm going to buy an Iceman. I'm going to break it in my house. I'm going to sell it to you for $6,000.
No, but look. Although I will admit that you are a legend.
Absolutely
a legend. Still not at the same level as one Stanley Eisen.
Away though, man.
Yes, I mean, like, if you know what, I was going to say something and then I have to remember that your wife watches, so I can't. But it involved like 1,700 more chicks and burying a star in their crotch. So at least they're going forward with this tour. I was wondering what everybody was thinking, what you guys out there. Don't forget, you could comment right there on the side while we're doing the show. Tell us if Sonny's wrong or if Jody's right or if I'm always right. You can always tell me. And the cool thing is that we're going to, at least they're planning the tour. We're not having to sit back and wonder if they're even thinking about it. You know what I mean? At least it's legit moving forward. Whether or not we get there, completely different thing.
Totally.
It is the fact that they're. So here's the question, because I asked online, if the tour goes forward and they're playing your town, are you going, Sonny?
I'm in on conditions. Okay. So if it's set up like, we went to, did Top Golf yesterday. So if you've never done Top Golf, it's like a driving range in an enclosed area, and you shoot at targets. It's kind of fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. But once, you know, you wore a mask until you got to your area, and you could have six people in your area. But once you were there, you didn't have to wear the mask anymore, right? So if it's set up like that, to where I got to wear a mask all the way into the venue, but the venue is somehow, you know, partitioned off, so I can sit with my family or my friends and we don't have to wear masks at that point. But if we go to the bathroom, we got to wear a mask, I'm in. But if I go to wear a mask the entire time, I don't know if I go to any show. Like, I don't know if I can watch a show like that.
Jody?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Sonny, man. It doesn't feel like a rock and roll show, you know? I hate wearing those masks. I only do it because otherwise people think you're a dick. You know what I mean? But I hate it, dude. I can't stand it. So, I don't know.
I'm the same way. I wear a mask so nobody knows that I'm a dick.
It's a good hiding spot.
Yep, it is. The things that are going on in my head while I wander around, and there's actually people not wearing masks, you wouldn't even imagine. They involve machines.
What I don't get is, like, why everybody's got masks on except people and their babies don't. Like, you're not trying to protect your baby, you know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't really know. I'm going to go to shows. I don't give a shit. I'm going to shows. If they tell me I got to wear a mask, I'll wear a mask. If they tell me I don't have to wear a mask, I'll probably still wear a mask. I figure I wear it everywhere else. If I'm going to have the opportunity to go and stand in front of Tommy Thayer and Eric Singer for 2 hours, I'm wearing a mask. See what I did there?
Yeah.
I think the harder part is, all right, so let's say it's June, tip. Right? Yeah, we'll say it's June, and there's a show we're going to go to. Are you supposed to hug people you know? Do you do fist bumps?
It's the elbow, man.
Right, do you do the elbow thing? Do you kind of do that, hi, you know, that kind of thing? Like, what do you do? That's the part that's bugging me.
Yeah. The elbow is the new hand. I've seen it a bunch of places where people are elbowing each other. No. And
I tried the elbow. It's not the new. Trust me. It can't do what a hand could. Oh, forget it.
So what are people saying in the chat? Are they saying they'll go? Are they saying that they want to go? Or
Mark Weiss said he's going if Kiss is performing. Brad said he's still got his tickets for Detroit. He's going September. Somebody said Peter Criss's solo album's good. Casada, you're wrong.
Oh, we're gonna get into that shit.
Yeah,
so I'm waiting. If you guys are going to go to the shows, let us know. Type in down in the comments, yes or no. That's all we really need. I did put a post online, and it's really interesting because people are torn. It's like back and forth. It's like one of those things where it's mostly yes, but still there's conditions. So, and the yeses, it was, let's see.
Well, you're getting that with stuff like vaccine, right? Will you take a vaccine? Well, I'll take a vaccine if the person I support with my vote tells me to, but if the other guy says, I'm not taking a vaccine, like, this is dumb.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever. It's the same damn vaccine. I don't get it either. So it looks like 36 people said they're going, and it looks like 5 people said, nope, not going. So, I mean, I understand if you're scared. If one thing, if you're scared and you don't want to go, I get that. If you just are like, I've already seen 15 shows, I don't have to go anymore, I get that. That makes sense, too. I mean, we're talking a lot of money.
Yeah, my thing isn't the scared or if I've seen them 30 times. My thing is about, I don't want the energy of a live show to be different.
Right.
Okay, I get that.
Right? As simple as, forget about arena shows. I'm talking about a simple club gig. Right? Yeah. Mass Intruder plays down the street. I want to see a packed show with a lot of energy. I don't want people standing 20 people, 20 feet apart from each other with masks on. Now, unless they got the Mass Intruder mask on, that's different. But if I got to wear, you know what I mean? Imagine, so, I don't know.
Intruder's got the regular mask plus like the face mask, like double mask.
And then a shield.
Yeah.
And then a body condom.
Is Kiss going to be having masks on? You know what I mean? Like, are they going to have the mask over the makeup? Or is
I pay
it
to
like,
see that.
Like
I
a,
pay to
like
see
a cellophane
that.
Shield. What, you know what I mean? Like, what is it?
Would it be How's crazy it if the curtain drops and there is just like this enormous plexiglass thing? Or what if there's one connected to like, what if Paul's wearing one of those shields, man? He's wandering around. I don't know. Anyway, we're obviously getting ahead of ourselves. And of course, we are also joking. We don't.
Right.
Anyway, one other thing. Last week, I forgot to mention it. Mike Williams. Came the closest. 40 people sent in answers to the, actually it was 42, sent in answers to the question, what was the average attendance at Dynasty Tour? And without going over, you had to come as close as you could. Mike missed it by like 52. So Mike Williams, you get the Paul Stanley pop soda. It's not really a soda. So make sure you send me your address, podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one.
At gmail.com, podcastrockcity1, that's the number one, at gmail.com. Look, I've been dealing with this all week with you guys, so let's get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
So I've been thinking about all week about what I wanted to talk about, and I actually got a subject for us early, which never happens.
Never.
Never happens. It's always, sometimes like last week, it's like 8 minutes before we go on. And look, here's the thing to always remember while you're watching this. We're literally 3, sometimes 4 when Joey's here. We're just sitting around talking about Kiss, man. We're not trying to be fancy, except for when we are. And we're not trying to be, you know, that precise about, you know, this is all opinion. So if you don't like that, then this isn't the show for you. Because you're going to hear a lot of that shit today. I'm telling you right now. So the other day I said, hey, are Peter, Chris, and Gene Simmons' 78 solo records really that bad? And of course, Sonny was immediately back to me. But let's talk about it. One thing that I want to mention is I had decided not to do any more contests, because it's hard for me to keep up with. But I forgot that I had a couple more things. So I'm going to make sure that I do it. So if you're in the room today, when I tell you the secret, actually, I'll do a question in just a little bit. And the winner today will receive the masterpiece. That is the picture disc of Peter Criss.
Oh, yeah. That was in the clearance bin for $5. I saw it the other day.
It's a picture disc. It can't be clearance. It's a picture disc. So I will have a question later. If you email us at podcastrockcity1, that's the number one at gmail.com. And with the right answer, whoever I pick will win. And you'll get the Peter Criss picture disc solo album. That's not something that everybody has, except for the fact that everybody has it. Okay, so let's talk about it. I listened to Peter's album three times yesterday and Gene's three times yesterday. And I have to say that my first thing is, and we're going to really get into this, Peter's is way better than Gene's. And discuss.
I don't think so.
Sonny?
I basically like 2.5 songs on each one, so does it really matter?
Yes. Whose album is better to you?
I guess I have to say Peter.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So people were commenting on this, and it made a lot of sense, a lot of the comments, and they were basically, one comment in particular was, look, this was supposed to be a step away from Kiss for the band. They were able to do what they wanted, how they wanted, regardless of what you and I are used to hearing. It was what they wanted. They wanted to experiment or try something else. Or in Peter's case, he wanted to write, you know, 14 Beths. And by write, I mean other people wrote them. You know, but still, he wanted to be, you know, that love song guy, right? And that's really pretty much what his record is. Gene, on the other hand, he went in 50 different directions. You guys agree with that?
Yeah.
There's really no... If you turn on Peter Criss's record and listen to the whole thing, it all is kind of form. It all forms, right? But Gene's right. Is kind of like... His other solo album, Assholes, the same way, which, by the way, is a masterpiece. But we'll talk about that another time.
Masterpiece, huh?
You got that right. I said it. What are people saying right now, Sonny?
Some people hate, like Mark hates the Peter album. Glenn said, Jody, the graphics look great, by the way.
Thanks, man.
You know, Glenn also said he can't believe the hate for Gene's album. I'll explain my hate in a little bit. I think what ends up happening is if it wasn't, take Peter and Gene out of the equation. Okay?
Okay, yep.
Listen to these two albums as brand new, coming out in 1978, and you don't know who the hell it is, you would never listen to them again. Period.
Right.
If it wasn't for those two people, you would never... These two put together wouldn't have sold 10 copies.
Okay, so here's where I have an issue with that. Peter's style of solo album is something that I would have been listening to back in 78 because it was what was in my house. So the chances of it being bought, if a song got on the radio, because they had a better chance not being in Kiss getting a single out on the radio, the chances of that record being in my home were probably better than they were. I mean, just because my mom would have gone out and bought it. And then I would have liked it because I was raised by her music that she loved, which, by the way, was only minuscule and good. It wasn't a lot of things she listened to. So, Peter, yes. Gene, no.
See, my problem, although I got a problem with these two albums, I've got this problem with several singers in my lifetime. So, Janie Lane, Jack Russell, Josh Todd, Steve Perry to a point, Tom Kiefer, Joey Tempest, Dickinson, Tommy Shaw, Jack Blade, Stephen Piercy. These guys all went and did solo records. I absolutely love Tommy Shaw's voice. I cannot stand any of his solo songs. They are horrible, right? And it's like they just got too far away from what they were known for. And I go to music for an escape that I, and creates an X emotion for me that I know it creates. And that's why I keep going back to certain things. And for me, these guys, I get it. They're artists and they want to go explore, blah, blah, blah. That's rinse and repeat is how you make good money. Like that's what it's all about. And I think, I'm sure Jody's going to agree with me because I think that's what punk is all about. Like if I listen to any of the McCracken stuff, it all sounds somewhat similar and it's all fun and it doesn't matter. It all sounds not the same, not like AC/DC, but it all has the same mood.
Right. See, I think that's the problem with the solo albums. It's like, this is what they really wanted to do. And it like it made them seem kind of phony. Like you loved them for this one thing they did in Kiss. And then here's what I really wanted to do. This like hot air kind of washed out, kind of lame, kind of boring music. You know what I mean? At least to me, because when I was a kid, I like got Gene's first, of course. You know, he's the coolest looking dude. He was the heavy guy. And then it's like, this is what Gene Simmons is all about. What the fuck? You know what I mean? It's just like, it puts, I don't know, man. I think it happened to a lot of people. It's like you expected 12 God of Thunders and you got like, you know, When You Wish Upon a Star. It's just brutal. And it made you look at Gene in a different way. Peter, I expected to kind of be, you know, kind of lightweight. But I think that's because of Beth. You know what I mean? Like, I think if Peter would have had a hit with like Baby Driver, his solo album might have been rocking. You know what I mean?
You think but that if he would have released an album full of hooligans and baby drivers?
Yeah, dude. The rock album that we've been waiting, you know, 40 years for.
You are going to die without that record. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know.
And so is he.
But it just makes you think, and anytime, like I mentioned a bunch of these guys, right? So anytime that I've heard, let's say we'll go back to Tommy Shaw, I'm like, well, I guess he needs the other guys from Styx to help him write because he can't do it on his own because it sounds like crap. Or Bruce Dickinson, I'm like, that's close, but I guess you need Harris. Otherwise, it doesn't sound right.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, they're just, I don't know, the whole solo idea. It's like, I think Paul got it right. You know, it's like he gave you what you wanted from him. And that's why his is the best. And Ace, same way. But like trying to stretch out because you're an artist, it's kind of stupid, man. It's just like you lose your audience.
Well, what do you mostly think? What do you think the, okay, so if they would have, if Gene would have said, yeah, I'm leaving Kiss and I'm going to do a solo album, do you think he would have done that album still? Or do you think he would have done an album of God of Thunders?
I don't know, man. If this is what he really wanted to sound like, I guess maybe that's what he would have sounded like. I mean, look at Asshole. It doesn't sound like Kiss either.
Yeah, but at that point, though, he's super established. I guess, well, he would have been too in 78.
Oh, so, yeah.
I'm the other way. I think if Gene and Peter, let's say if all four at this point, Kiss is done, they're going to go their four separate ways and go try to make their own career of it. Both Peter and Gene would have put more songs like they did in Kiss on their records to be established right out of the gate. This you might have got three albums in, but you would not have got this album one. And right. Ace's and Paul's would have been the same. Paul was doing exactly what he wanted to do, but it sounded like Kiss, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so Julian Gill's book, if you guys have never read that or purchased it, go online and look for it. He wrote a whole book about the solo albums. Basically, what through his research, he found out that the albums sold Gene, Ace, Peter, Paul. That's how they sold the most. Gene first, Ace second, Peter third, Paul the fourth. And the reasoning was everybody already knew what Paul sounded like. They all wanted Gene first because they wanted the Gene record. Then they bought the Gene record and got disappointed, bought the Ace album and got excited, bought the Peter record, got disappointed, and skipped on Paul's, basically.
Yeah.
Now, you will get people that will argue with me all the time. Take that up with fucking Julian Gill. I'm only going by his damn numbers. Who, by the way...
makes sense, though, dude. I mean, right? I want to choose first.
And here's the thing. I will let you know. I know Julian's going to be watching. When I say take that shit up with Julian Gill, I'm not saying I don't agree with him. I believe what he said. Julian is a research maniac. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it sold. Gene, Ace, Peter, Paul. Paul sold the least out of all of them. Peter sold the third most. And, it's a shame because Paul's album was probably, in my opinion, the best. I love Ace's album, but to me, I just like Paul's voice. Once you have Paul's voice in there, you really got another Kiss album. You guys agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. So... well, I guess that's the end of the show.
Yeah. Paul's the best. See ya. But Paul, like, stretched out just enough. You know what I mean? Like, he still kept it close. But, I mean, there's a couple songs that would never be on a Kiss record. Like, Hold Me, Touch Me. You know what I mean? It wouldn't have worked. But it's, like, not too far off. It's, like, it was still familiar. You know what I mean? And it was exactly what you would want. What I would want. What I still want.
Well, let me ask you this. Obviously, you guys have listened to these records before. There's no way you guys sit back and go, are the songs bad or it's just not what you wanted out of their solo album? Because I don't think the music's bad. Actually, with Gene's record, I don't like most of the songs. But Peter's record, I really like the music. I think that it's just good contemporary music, you know. The band's good. The sound is good. Sonny's head is going to fall off.
I got the same problem with both of them. The songs are not good. They're just not good. There's, like I said, about, to me, there's like 2.5 songs on each of these albums I can basically tolerate and label as good. I'm not saying Peter's voice is bad. I think Peter's voice sounds great. And there's parts where the rasp really works, but the songwriting is brutal. I can't get, like, Kiss the Girl Goodbye. Do you know what I had to do to get through that song one time?
Yeah.
I love that fucking song.
Oh my God. Dude.
I love I Can't Stop the Rain. I love that's the kind of sugar Papa likes. It's dirty. Ooh. But I love it. I love that record, man. I don't know. See, look, here's the thing. This is one of the most amazing things about these solo albums is how they can get people discussing and showing how different musical tastes are. I mean, seriously, because like if I were to say the truth and say the first Stryper album is awful.
Sonny it is. It is.
I really didn't like believe it. That. I was kidding.
Yellow and Black Attack.
Yellow and Black Attack. Come on, dude.
Terrible.
It's come on, rock.
Terrible. And there's some bad songs on it.
Okay, I'm just kidding. So we just learned too, a lot man. About Sonny.
Yeah.
Okay, but no. That aside, you really start to see how different people are. We would all sit here and go, we love listening to Rock and Roll Over. But, and that's musical taste wise, we're all in that same spot. But then you pivot over to Gene's solo album and you will find some people love it, some people hate it. And some people really hate it and some people really love it. You pivot more and you get Ace and you have more people that love it. You get over to Paul, and it's the same thing. Musical taste, really, it's kind of almost like science, you know, as strange as that sounds. It's scientific. It's like, what is it about this that makes the same people that will all agree that they like one record disagree that they like and love a different one?
I think you're right. It's musical taste. Like, for me, like, I hated Gene's album when I was a kid, but as when I got older, I can appreciate it now. Like, I dig some of the stuff. I like about half of it, a little bit more than Sonny does. But the half that's good, it's really good, I think. It's a little, you know, it's totally different, and it's very Beatlesque, but, you know, there are some good songs. But Peter's, I just can't do it, man. I just can't do it. There's, like, nothing on there for me, man. It's just too, like, white bread, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
he's like trying to be soul rock. That's what he said on the Black Box things. He just falls short for me, man.
Tell everybody what that is, Jody. Black Box.
It was those like Casablanca sent out these things to radio where they had like pre-recorded interviews, so the DJ would ask the questions and then you could push play and hear the answers. Right.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the cool thing was that so you can literally find those online, guys.
Yeah.
And if
I did an episode of Strange Ways where I did those things. I did ask the questions and they answered it, and it was pretty cool, man.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome where you get the opportunity to interview.
Yeah, Kiss in 78. We went back in the time machine. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember that. That is pretty awesome. What are people saying, Sonny? Are they saying how stupid I am or you are or what?
It's exactly what you said. It's all over the place. You know, unlistenable. Some people go, yeah, Sonny. The very next thing says, I agree with Joe. Like, it's all over the place. These two albums, the solo albums just in general.
Very divisive.
The only one that gets universal praise, in my opinion, is Ace's.
Totally.
Right? Because they got what they wanted out of Ace. They got five or six more Shock Me's and everybody's happy. Right? But the other three, oh man, you get it all over the board. Where I have a tough time with these two albums is I'll be listening to a song and go, there's no way Paul allows that to be on. Like, he go, hey, all that's good. You got to cut that shit out. Like, there's in almost every song, except for, like I said, four or five total between these two albums, there's something funky that is like, you gotta do something different with that. That's not gonna work the way it is, right? And I think that's what a co-writer does for you, right? This is I don't know if you guys remember, but Rat released this out, I even forgot the name of the damn album that Desmond Child helped him with. And what he would do is every time Piercy would have to go to the next level in the chorus to make it catchy, he would just lower him in the mix and put big backing vocals on it. That's what Desmond Child does, right? He's a smart guy. He knows Piercy can't do that, so he wants a song to sound like Desmond Child, so he's got to put XYZ on it.
Right.
This felt like they could do whatever they wanted, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah. There's no way, like, Eddie Kramer or Bob Ezrin let most of those songs through. You know what I mean? There's no fucking way. They're just too hot air 70s, you know? It's just like lightweight shit, like white bread.
So on Podcast Rock City's site, I wrote, are the Gene Simmons and Peter Criss 78 solo albums really that bad? 87 votes said no. 31 said yes. On the Kiss Asylum, now if you guys don't know, I have opened up a KissAsylum.com Facebook page. The KissAsylum.com is where you go every day. If you're a Kiss fan, you go there every day to get your news, of course, besides probably the Kiss website. But KissAsylum.com is a great place to go and get new news. And I've been working with them and trying to get, you know, new stuff put up there. And there's a Facebook page, group page now. And so basically, On this one, I wrote the same thing, and it split about the same. It split about the same.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's mostly people saying they're not that bad. So, which once again shows you...
Yeah, I mean, they're all right. I think what Sonny said was dead on the money, though, man. Like, if you didn't know it was Gene Simmons or Peter Criss, there's no fucking way you'd sit around listening to that shit, man. There's no way. I can't see it happening. I mean, you maybe, okay, Joe, because you grew up listening to Manilow and stuff, you know, through your mom.
Manilow?
Yeah, you know, yeah. But your average rock fan, there's no fucking way they're listening to that, dude. No way. I wouldn't. There's no, you know, I don't even really do it even when it's Gene and Peter. You know what I mean? I haven't listened to those in probably a couple of years since the last time we talked about them, at least, you know?
Yeah.
Whenever that may have been. But I don't listen to those records. I listen to Paul's once in a while and Ace's once in a while, but nah, not the rest of them.
Wow. Okay, so let's talk about the packaging. The paintings on the covers, epic, correct?
Oh, yeah, classic.
Classic.
Classic. It definitely was. It you can close your eyes and see each one. They're so ingrained in your head.
Yeah.
It's like Gene on Alive 2. I don't totally ever have to see it again to describe it to you.
Right.
The posters on the insides.
Same great thing.
Yeah, and yeah, it was brilliant to make it so they were a puzzle, and they get put together like that.
Yeah, they made sure that you had to buy all four. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Notice brilliant. The posters are behind me on my wall, and of course I don't have them together.
No,
no.
But in order, I do have them in order. You ever wonder why they did? Maybe they did. Did they ever release one long poster? That would have been kind of cool, but
I think you can buy that somewhere.
Yeah, I think you can. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't do that now. It's just, it's too much. Okay, so let's talk about Gene's album. I mean, you had stars on that one, right? Lots of stars.
Yeah.
Joe Perry. Who else did we have? Katie Nielsen. Sagal before she was Katie Sagal.
Lassie.
That's right. Paul McCartney was supposed to play on it, right? Paul McCartney was supposed to
He was trying to get McCartney, yeah.
Is ended up going with the.
I don't think so.
It's not listed Paul McCartney, and then it wound up falling apart?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's listed. I can't remember.
I don't have.
But he did get the guys from the Beatlemania like tribute thing to do it.
Right.
But, you know, and they sound great. I just think it's cool that Kiss could do something like that, you know? And let me ask you guys this real quick. If, like, by chance the solo albums were, like, this big success, do you think that we would have got, like, periodic solo albums from all the guys in Kiss? So, like, in the 80s, you know, you got Bruce and Eric doing solo records and Gene and Paul all at the same time. Like, you know, keep that tradition going like they did with Alive. You think that would have happened?
Maybe,
yeah. I think that's good. Yeah. If it works, there's no way Casablanca can let that go then, because that means... If every time these guys are going to release an album, it's going to go gold. Hell, you're going to sell 2 million albums on day one. Like, you have to do that.
Yeah. That would be really crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Do you think that it would have helped if they would have set one of the members up? You know what? I'm saying this, and it's just would cause a fucking argument. So if they would have said, okay, we're all going to put solo albums out, Paul is going to be the guy who stamps his approval on the records before they go out. No way in hell that happens.
No.
Peter's probably never finishes.
Yeah.
and Ace's gets worse, because there's no way he can allow Ace to do what he's doing, because those are some great songs.
Right. Well, I mean, what if it happens in 83? You got a Vinnie Vincent solo record and he's singing and doing all that. I mean, I don't know. Eric Carr's solo album would be sweet, I bet, though. Yeah, we know what he sounds like.
Paul would have sabotaged Ace's album.
I don't know if sabotage is the word, but I think it would have been, look, you're not showing any growth here. Like the instrumental, yeah, that's a good idea. You should have three or four of those. Forget that rip it out thing. That sounds just like something else we would do.
Yeah.
Okay, so I see a bunch of you guys commenting. This is what I want you to do now. I want you to put who you thinks is better, Gene or Peter. Just type in Gene or Peter, and I'm really curious about that. I haven't. I have my reading glasses on, but I'm too far away from the computer to read it. So,
nice.
Yeah, that's an old man thing. Just
so, getting back to Peter for a second, because I want to get your thoughts on two things. Okay. One, how is it possible that you can ruin a song like Tossing and Turning? Like, that is, you should never be allowed to ever do music again after you ruin that song. Like, you took the little bit of balls that were in the song, you took them out. So you obviously have forgiven them for that. And then the second thing is, Don't You Let Me Down doesn't sound like Under the Boardwalk to you. Like, Kenny Young and Arthur Resnick should sue Peter for the $83 he has left. Like, it sounds just like Under the Boardwalk to me.
Yeah,
have you ever heard
the best one on there, though? I think,
of course, yeah, but
if you haven't, just listen to Don't You Let Me Down. It's the same.
No, but I love Tossing and Turning. I don't
My, me too. Peter ruined it.
I love Peter's version.
Oh my god.
All right, what are we getting right now? Most people are saying Peter's album's better.
No way. I don't think so.
Mark didn't say that. Glenn didn't say that.
Well, so how many people we got so far voting in this thing? Okay, so
where do you guys see these at? I could never can see them.
If you got StreamYard up, click on the comments on the right hand side. See the upper right hand corner.
So I see
there's a thing that says comments. Click
I
that.
I have like a cogwheel thing. Like a settings wheel or something.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
So that's okay. I'll read them to you. Peter, Gene, Peter, Peter, Gene, Peter, 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 Gene, Vinny Solo. Yes. then it's Peter, 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 Peter. It's
Peter's definitely winning, that's for sure.
Well, one thing, maybe people were just too disappointed in Gene's. Maybe people went, well, that's what I expected out of Peter. Gene's,
yeah.
He, you know, put a knife in me at some point and turned it a little bit, yeah.
Well, even that first, like, 65 seconds of Radioactive, right, with the haunting and the ooh and the blah, 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 right? You figure you're going to get, like, 11 songs of God of Thunder with that beginning.
Totally.
And Radioactive at least was cool, but then it like turns to basically shit.
Yeah, dude, See You Tonight alone is better than anything on Peter's record, don't you think? You guys don't think so? Always Near You, Man of a Thousand Faces. Come on, dude. Way better.
Okay, what's the song? I'm blanking on the name right now. That's on a Gene's solo album that's also on a Kiss record.
See You Tonight?
Yeah.
No, See You in Your Dreams.
I mean, See You in Your Dreams. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay,
I don't like that version, though.
Lyrically, they changes a little bit. Which version don't you like, Sonny?
I like the original version better. The only thing I like about this version on the solo album is the whole James Brown little background vocal thing. That's, you know, I got to feel ya, I got to see. You know, like, there's like these little things that he's putting in, right? That there's no way Paul's going to allow that on a Kiss album. So I guess you got to do it somewhere else.
When you sang that, I wish you'd have stood up and did a little James Brown. That would have been amazing.
Doing that shuffle.
Yeah, because it has that Prince feel, because Prince does that a lot. Is like the regular track will be running, but if you're listening real close, you can kind of hear that stuff in the background.
Oh yeah, Prince had it all figured out, dude. Yeah,
ain't that the damn truth? You always used to hear that they sold a ton of these records, but really they undersold. They shipped a million, right?
Yeah.
A million apiece. 890,000.
Yeah. Tastes wavered.
Yes, that's what.
That like clip they always play on those documentaries.
Yes, yes, it's true. Okay, so now I'm going to hit you with a question that you might not be prepared to answer.
All right.
And maybe you would be. We'll start with Jody.
Okay.
What saves with the songs that are on that record, can you save Gene's record?
I don't mind Gene's record, dude. I think half of it's really good. The other half is just too like, what it reminds me of is like Little Shop of Horrors or something like that. Like some kind of Broadway songs, you know what I mean? Like Tunnel of Love and all that. Just absolutely brutal to me. But the ones that are good, I think are really good. I like the Beatlesque type ones, you know? But when he's trying to like rock out, like I don't even really like Radioactive that much. It just sounds like the sound to me kind of reminds me of like, you know, like when a like an all-star band gets together at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and they just play some generic rock song. That's what Gene's record sounds like to me. Peter's too. It's just like there's no style there. There's no balls, you know? I like when Kiss was kind of a little dangerous, you know? Not so safe, not so fucking boring.
Okay, so in your opinion, what saves Peter's record?
I don't know what saves that record, dude. I like the painting and like the poster, but I never listened to that one ever.
Well, do you think that if he'd have gone a little heavier?
If he would have made a rock record, it would have ruled, dude. I mean, I don't understand why he never did that. Because, I mean, from day one, he sang Black Diamond, one of the best Kiss songs, you know, ever. But yet, ever since Beth, he's like pussified. No pun intended. You know?
Hey, Sonny, read that comment right there from Richard.
Here in the UK, the solo albums weren't released. But in January 79, the US cutouts were being sold as imports in UK record stores at regular release prices. So we have tens of thousands of copies here despite no official release.
So
it looks
crazy.
Like they took it back and then shipped them out to other countries.
At full price. With cutouts in them. I never heard that before. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's nuts.
Now
did
I
the UK like
UK
version. I want to know what they thought of Ace and Paul, though. Did the UK dig on that?
Yeah. Let us know, Robert, how they sold out. I'm curious, man. That's a pretty interesting thing that I had never heard.
Yeah, me either.
They didn't get released out there, and then...
I think the problem in the UK in 78 was punk rock was happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. All of a sudden, all the Kmart bins are getting the cutouts of... do they have
at
Kmart
full price.
In the UK? I don't know.
That's some brilliant altcoin strategy there, man.
Yeah, it depends on how many were sold.
Yeah.
Now I want to get a bunch of copies. I got to fly to the UK. I come back and my luggage is full of Peter Criss solo albums.
Yeah.
In case I wear them out.
Nice.
Let me hit you guys with this question. You're going to email me podcastrockcity1@gmail.com. That's the email address. You're going to email me the answer to this question in order to have a chance at winning the Peter Criss picture disc solo album. Here we go. Who shot the infamous photo on Kiss Alive album cover? If you know the answer to that or you want to look it up, send it to me, podcastrockcity1, that's the number one, @gmail.com. Let me ask you this. Do you think that Peter should have really thought about what happened when his solo album came out and went, okay, obviously solo thing is not for me. I need to really straighten up and get my shit together with these guys so I'm in the band for, you know, another 5 or 10 years.
Yeah. You would think he would have. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know what he was thinking. I think they just all had a bunch of people telling them they were the shit, you know? And plus, all the cocaine makes you think you could do anything, you know?
Sure.
So I'm going to answer that other question you had. So, you know, what saves Gene's record?
Yeah.
He's got to pick a way. Pick one way and do that one thing. Doing 10 songs that have 4 different sounds is not a good idea. Right? That's my opinion. Peter, it's real easy. Dump Stan Penridge as a co-writer. Like, stop writing with that dude. Because that dude sucks. That's just all there is to it. I don't know anything about the guy, but I can tell you he can't write songs. Right?
Yeah.
Pick somebody else.
Yeah. Right,
like Peter could have been Bob Seger.
I know,
how big Bob Seger or Rod Stewart got between 78 and 85. Think about all the albums they sold.
Right.
Peter has a better voice than both of them. But those guys write way better songs because they don't got Stan Penridge. That's why.
So it all comes down to Penridge, huh? I never thought about that.
Penridge's fault.
It's like the only guy Peter knew or what? I don't know.
He's the coke dealer. That's what the problem is.
Yeah. Totally. They do a line. He's like, oh, check out this song I just got, man. It's fucking great.
Yeah. I think, you know what? If we work really hard, I think we can fuck up Tossing and Turning.
Yeah. I didn't sleep at all last night. I really didn't, dude.
Okay, he wasn't the coke dealer, right?
Not that I know. He wasn't a songwriter either. So what's the difference? Okay.
Right.
I was very confused. All right, Richard answered us down there. What's it say?
Kiss had no profile here anyway, so they didn't sell amazingly. But Radioactive did hit the singles chart. It reached number 41. New York Groove didn't chart because the original version by Hell was already a top 10 single here. Yeah, one thing that we found out doing some research about UK bands is like the Quiet Riot doing, what was that, Come On Feel the Noise? That didn't do that well in the UK either because the original
Slade was pretty big over there, right?
Right, yeah. So that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, in the end, I mean, what did we decide? It's just you guys, so Jody likes Gene's album, doesn't like Peter's. Sonny doesn't like either of them, but he likes a couple songs. Let me ask you this: what two songs do you like off Peter's album?
To me, the best two songs are "Hooked on Rock and Roll" and "I'm Gonna Love You." Those are, and I can tolerate "I Can't Stop the Rain." I like "Don't You Let Me Down" till I figured out it was "Under the Boardwalk," and then I just went and listened to "Under the Boardwalk," and it's better.
You like Tossing and Turning, Sonny?
Oh, I love the original, but this is terrible. Like "Easy Thing."
Oh
my god! No, not good to me.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's that's where I'm talking about. "You Matter to Me." You just like gritty that up a little bit. And it's a Rod Stewart song.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be disco.
Right. I turned it into a Ramones song about 5 years ago. It's out there on the internet. You can find it if you dig for it.
Oh.
I totally rocked it out, dude. Like, made it fast and totally pretty cool. That's, I did all those key parts on guitars and shit. Sounds all right. Dig it up.
Yeah.
Let me know what you think.
Like,
always on it.
"Easy Thing" and "Kiss the Girl Goodbye." Like, that's torture. That is... Oh my god. Like, you could get any CIA operative secrets if you put that shit on loop. It won't take 5 minutes.
Right.
So we don't need a waterboard.
It's like some kind of,
you need a Peter Criss solo album then?
Yeah.
It's like Frank Stallone or something like that. Absolutely brutal. Tell you,
there's a guy I know I mention all the time, right down the street. He every Sunday he has church in his front yard. Yeah. Which, once again, I don't mind that he has church. It's just fucking loud. You think that next week... Oh, I can't next week. Oh, yeah. Show note. Next week, I'll be out. I think Sonny, the other guys will handle it. You think it would be, like, totally rude if I pulled up and just opened up my car door and, like, "I can't stop the rain"?
I would love to see that.
Comes again. I mean, just while the guy's like... "And the Lord died." Tossing and turning.
No, you got to play "Living in Sin." Pull up a Gene's record.
Yeah, see? Okay, well, I'll put that on loop.
Yeah. Tunnel of Love.
And I'll get him to turn his shit down.
That's all you need is you're blasting the radio "Living in Sin."
Yeah.
I hear Gene. I don't need Gene breathing in my ear. Really. I don't.
Yeah, nobody does.
Okay, so here's the thing. You guys, it says Sonny severely loves Peter.
Secretly. Is it better than The Elder? Yes, because it has, you know, 2.5 songs I can tolerate.
You like that better than The Elder, Sonny? You're taking your meds today, boy.
Wow.
Wow, okay, that's right.
I guess we've talked about this as much as we possibly can. Thank you guys out there for tuning in and listening. I'm still getting the hang of all this, but I think it's working out a lot better. Don't forget, go to kissasylum.com for all your weekly Kiss news. And we also podcast Rock City one, that's the number one, at gmail.com. You can email the answer to who shot the infamous photo on Kiss Alive album cover. Send the answer and you'll be in for the drawing for the Peter Criss solo album picture disc. Also, we have a kissasylum.com group page on Facebook now. We've already got 200 members in a week. So if you guys want to come over and join that and hang out with us, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of discussion on that. Jody, do you have anything to add?
Nope. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Sonny.
For extra credit, you could even tell us who shot the sheriff on that email. Get it?
All I know is it wasn't the deputy.
He didn't shoot the deputy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. Well, once again, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Okay, so...
Thank God Peter didn't mess up that song.
Right.
Imagine that. You know what I'm going to say. We love podcasts, and we love Kiss podcasts, most of them anyway, and you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones that we love. In 3, 2, 1...
Peace. Peace.
Goodbye. What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's first stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com, growinguprock.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The
The Dummy Room's a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests, too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.